This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by PRMI, PugetSound.com, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
A woman ordered a salad from Evergreens in South Lake Union. And she got it. Like, she got a salad. There was lettuce in it. There was other vegetables, but there was a protein that I don't think she anticipated.
We're doing a story because a woman got a salad and there was nothing wrong with it?
Well, a tiny issue was wrong. In the grand scheme of things, you know, people are dying of starvation in this world. So I hear you. But in this case, the salad also included a dead lizard. And she only found it halfway through eating the salad. Oh, I know, kids. Oh, my God. Hey, Duncan is not being a jerk today. Oh, now he just flipped me off. Get out! Get out of my studio, Duncan. By the way, they would also say ew with just a salad without the lizard. Watch this. Hey, kids, you want to eat a salad?
Ew!
See?
I agree with him.
So she ends up filing a complaint with King County Public Health as well as Evergreens, the company. And the county ended up sending over a health inspector.
Shocking, horrible, terrifying, disgusting.
Okay, relax. That's Maniza Qureshi. She spoke to Cairo 7 TV and said, I order salads from Evergreens all the time.
This is like my favorite lunch spot.
It is a very good place, although now we know that the flavor came from dead lizards, maybe. So obviously, she freaked out when she had her fork pierced through the carcass of what we're told is a western fence lizard, commonly called a blue-bellied wizard. Lizard, not a wizard. If that was the story, this is a cannibalism thing. Oh my gosh. And then not only cannibalism, but a wizard? Wizards exist?
It's Harry Potter. Potter. Yeah, did you not watch? There's eight movies.
In the eighth one, did he get turned into a salad? So she obviously is traumatized.
And I'm like working, eating, and then all of a sudden I'm like picking up my fork and I'm like, whoa, like
that is not part of the lettuce.
And that's when I saw like arms and like the little guts sticking out. And I just kind of jumped out of my desk, caught my coworkers. We're all freaking out.
Oh my God.
Oh, so I see the issue here. It was undercooked lizard. Yeah. You're supposed to cook lizard to like 170.
Well, that's why they give you that warning that says undercooked meat consumption can lead to
raw meat or eggs. Yeah, exactly. Just cook it a little bit longer. Oh, send
God.
It back.
Oh, my God. She ate it halfway through, and so she ate lettuce and all this other stuff that was marinating in the carcass of this lizard.
It's called Southwestern salad, Jason.
They talk about mindful eating, right? Slow down, chew 30 times, pay attention to your meal, put everything else aside. They were pitching that as a way to get more centered and sort of just take a break from the world and put all the stressors aside. They should pitch it as a way to not eat dead lizards.
That would probably work better than their original method.
Right? I feel like I might be more mindful of an eater if I didn't have to deal with that. Oh my gosh.
That's just when I was just like, you know, gagging, like puking, and I just like could not believe that there was a lizard in my salad. It's like,
wait, was she gagging or was she puking?
She said both. I don't know.
You gag first, and then you can do a full-on puke, I guess. Right?
I'm sure her, like, disgust lasted, like, 30 minutes, so maybe it was, like, 10 minutes of gagging, and then finally threw up.
First she goes, bleh! And then she goes, Tina, come over here, look what's in my salad! And then Tina comes over, and she still just, bleh, bleh! And then Tina goes, oh my God, you just ate the tail of a lizard, and that, bleh! Then it just lost it on Tina, who then puked on Steve from the cubicle next door.
See, this is why remote work was so much better.
Ugh. So she files a complaint with the company and public health. Ian Courtnage is the CEO of Evergreens. He said the company pays a premium to suppliers to ensure the lettuce and greens are good to go.
The quality of the product that we serve and safety is paramount, which is why we have this system in place. And that's why this extremely uncommon alleged incident is so frustrating to us and obviously the consumer.
I like the alleged incident. Did it happen or not?
They're not taking credit. They're not going
to. Then why is he commenting?
Yeah, it's
why does he come out and say, I want a full investigation?
Yeah, how does he know that what's her name didn't put the lizard in the salad just to get on
It's
get on
true,
the news?
Although I haven't heard any news of a lawsuit, which is usually what if you're in it for a scam. is what you would do. So I've gotten a lawyer. We haven't decided what we're going to do yet. I'm going to have to sit through all my trauma, like the TikTok guy. I've been traumatized, and now we got to figure something out. Weirdly, she also said a white man was responsible, and she shamed him on... I'm kidding.
Imagine that.
Okay, because we pay a premium to make sure we don't have any lizards in our salad.
Is that part of the contract? I don't know how food chain supply works.
The public health inspector's report said, no other complaints of foreign items in the salad have been received by this location. And says, based on the items placed in the salad, it is possible that the lizard came in one of the sealed packages of greens. So it wasn't just like a... on the way in from the evergreens to her office, a dead lizard didn't just fall into the salad. It's possible that at some point, I mean, it clearly didn't die in the salad, right? Because they put the seal on top of it, of the container. There's still enough oxygen in there for the walk to her office.
Yeah,
I'm assuming she works
alive.
Close by. So it would have been alive still. Why is my salad moving? The you don't want me to read this next line.
I do. Okay. I want you to say it.
Do you know who Bill Marler is?
Am I supposed to?
He's an expert in the field of food safety. He's actually an attorney.
Oh, okay.
He said finding things in food like this are not as rare as you might think. Snakes, mice, spiders, sometimes live things, sometimes not live things. The positive thing is, even though these things are grotesque, most of the time they don't cause human illness. Yeah, but she's never going to be able to eat a salad again.
Big blue lizard is not something that can be overlooked.
See? I mean, you know, mind over matter. You could overlook it.
Yeah, I'm sure. What, the guy from the Food Network that does all those challenges, Adam, whatever his name is, he would have just chomped down on that lizard.
They would eat this on Survivor.
Yeah.
As part of, or Amazing Race, as part of one of the competitions.
Do you think if there was $1 million in front of her like those game shows, she would have ate the lizard?
She would eat 12.
I would.
It's eaten, not eight.
Excuse me.
Public health report said staff were already required to go through the greens while filling the service container, continue to reinforce the importance of checking for foreign materials in all foods that come in. That's their recommendation. Continue to do exactly what you did when the lizard was not found. That's the report from the public health inspector. Now, on the other hand, what should they do? What is a good response to this?
I mean, do you have to buy a special colander that, like, separates out lizards from the rest of the lettuce leaves?
Right. I don't... What are they supposed to... What is a satisfactory way to end this? To resolve this?
Hire an extra person on hand to supervise the guy who preps the
lettuce. It's one time. One time it happened.
Yeah, so look past it. You don't need to do anything. Not every problem needs action, Jason.
Here's something that's weird to me. Because I've been to Evergreen.
Okay.
And it's possible something has changed since then. But they take the salad and they put it on a board. And then they put whatever your items on top of the salad, the added items, chicken, tomato, whatever it is you put into it. They take one of those cutters for salad. I don't know what they're called. It's almost like a pizza.
Like a big blade?
It's whatever it is. They cut it up in front of you. How did they not cut up the lizard? It was a sizable lizard.
Did it change before due to COVID? Are they making salads in the back now where people won't see the lizards up front?
Do you think maybe they do it in the back? They used to do it right in front of you.
That's how I worked in a restaurant when I was like 18. And whenever I'd see food prepped in the back, when I saw this story, I was thinking, you know, how could that lizard get through?
Yeah.
And it's not prepared
in front of you. But at least in the past, I was at one... probably last year, so it has been a while. They did it in front of you. Or not even last year. I guess it was pre-COVID the last time I went to Evergreens.
If it is done in front, she wants to blame the employees,
yeah,
it's
on
her
you.
Fault.
It's a two-party system here. They're doing it, and you're the extra person. You're the extra set of eyes.
She didn't
That's
see the little blue belly straight up in the air?
You know what? I'm not taking her side anymore. This is her fault.
Yeah, it is. Don't eat salads. It started there.
Yeah, by the way, you know... I'm getting a salad. I'm going to work at my desk. Shut up. How about that?
Go get some carbs. This would have never happened if you would have just ordered some normal food instead of rabbit food.
Even with the lizard, it's low carb, right? I'm assuming it's a low carb meal. It's a lizard. I mean, they could have put some like sugary sauce on top of the lizard.
And the lizard seemed fresh. It's not like it was deep fried or anything. So there's none of that.
Yeah,
added,
no,
like,
it looks fresh.
So.
I mean, fresh for a carcass.
It's like sashimi, but for reptiles.
Yeah, and you are supposed to eat it at room temperature.
All right.
So it's probably, yeah. Someone said they should call it a lizard spinner. That's the tool that you can get to get the lizard out of the salad.
Sure. Let's market that.
But I mean, do you have to do a lizard spinner and then a salad spinner?
What if it's a two-in-one?
I don't know if you can do a
two-in-one. You market it as a two-in-one, and then, you know, you trademark it, the salad lizard spinner.
Or how about this? People say this all the time. You should be more of an adventurous eater. I hate those people. This is the worst. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Seattle plans to add a special response team for some 911 calls. How's that going to work? We'll tell you when we come back. But first, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So soon, the city of Seattle is going to send social workers when you call 911 because the city of Seattle just doesn't like cops. They're pretending that police are the problem. Now, we know that the data does not back up all of the claims that they make. What we also know is this is a bad idea. This is a horrible idea. Sending social workers to their inevitable assault or murder. And I guess we're not supposed to say anything. We're not supposed to say much about it. We're supposed to sit back and allow people who are not trained to defend themselves and won't be equipped with a weapon when sending them out on these calls. Now, the details of this particular program, which they're calling Triage One, still getting figured out. They don't have all the details yet. We do know that at the earliest, it would happen sometime early next year. When you call 911, depending on the call, depending on the reason why you're calling, you're either going to get a cop or a social worker. Now, according to the Seattle Times, they say the idea is for Triage One to be housed in the fire department and be staffed by city employees who are not sworn police officers, according to the mayor. The responders will be trained in outreach, behavioral health, de-escalation techniques, and how to navigate people to social services, she said. Huh. There's as many as 8,000 calls each year that City Councilmember Lisa Herbold, a noted anti-police council member, says will be eventually dealt with by this new service. You can go ahead and do this. And it's not even like my position is that we should never send social workers. I just think sending social workers without police to 911 calls, to emergencies, is a bad idea. You've got fire departments that won't send out their firefighters or EMTs unless there is a cop present in certain neighborhoods or on certain kinds of calls. And yet we're going to say for the social worker, oh, just go ahead. Here's an example. Let's say a woman calls 911, and maybe you knew that she had some sort of mental health history. And she says, please come over. Someone stole my Xbox. Someone broke into my apartment and stole my items. Now, you would say reasonably, first, well, do you believe the thief is still in your home? No. He or she's gone. I'm totally alone. Okay. Do you send a cop there or do you send a social worker? In a case like that, you certainly can make the argument that you wouldn't send a cop. Why would you send a cop armed with a gun? There's so many other things that they could be doing. This is just a mentally ill woman or a history with mental illness, and she's just reporting stolen items from her home. Send the social worker. Well, send the social worker when she pulls that knife on you, as Charlena Lyles did under the exact same circumstances. You're not going to be in a position to protect yourself. You had two officers who she tried to stab to death. That's why she had the knife. Having to use force to protect themselves. What is a social worker supposed to do? Oh, but we're training them on de-escalation practices. Okay, well, cops are also trained on de-escalation. There's only so much you can do in the moment. We sent an officer, a King County Sheriff's deputy, several years ago, to an incident with a naked man running around a neighborhood. A naked man has no weapons. Presumably, if you're a naked man running around, you're either going through a mental health episode or maybe you're dealing with some sort of drug reaction or alcohol, whatever it happens to be. Well, that deputy who responded ended up getting killed by this man. So this idea that, oh, don't worry, when we think there's a legitimate threat, we'll send the police. Would you have thought in either of those two scenarios that there was a legitimate threat that your life can be harmed? I wouldn't think so. It is a bizarre way to go about policing. And when we're talking about social workers, Are you at least going to, as a 911 operator, say, okay, you're calling for a mental health issue. Can you just please tell me the height and weight of this person? 6'4", 280 pounds. And then you look around who's available for your social working role, and no one there. Everyone is like a 5'7" petite woman or dude. You're not going to send them, presumably. So sometimes you're then going to send an officer. What if there's a mistake and the person on 911 says, I have no clue. I was just driving by. Please help. This guy's going through a mental health issue. There are so many problems here, and no one wants to recognize, because all they're doing here, all they're about, is reimagining police. Or reimagine police. Well, your reimagining of police is already causing people to die. We are understaffed in Seattle. Lowest deployable staff number since the 1980s. People are leaving the profession. Some of them are going to Spokane to work, but some others are going into the private sector. I just spoke to a cop on my way home from work on Friday, former SPD officer, now making way more money, and it's way safer now that he started a security business. He got out of the business completely. He's not trying to get back in. More and more of these folks are making that decision because they don't want to put their livelihoods on the line, potentially go to jail, because they're not following one of these new 13 new pieces of legislation on police accountability. So what are we doing here? And I'm asking that sincerely. What are they doing? Do they know what they're doing in Olympia when they make these changes? Does the Seattle City government know what it's doing when they make these kinds of suggestions? Oh, well, didn't you know the same program like Triage One is working really, really well in this really small city in Oregon? It's working well there. Okay, so you want to just automatically put it to Seattle? Whose problems got worse because of your previous policies, but now your new policy will address the issues that you caused? Okay. They say they're going to start as a pilot program. Well, what does that mean? What is success? No one dies the first year on a small pilot program? Seriously, what is success? And what is failure? If one person dies as a result, well, they died for the greater good. It's much better than having cops out there with their guns and their racism. Because that's the argument that's going to happen. And we're going to be here on this show, tragically reporting an inevitable death. We're going to reluctantly say, we've been saying this for a while. It fell on deaf ears. The council didn't care. The mayor's office doesn't care. And nothing will change. It'll just be another data point of the rise in crime. I'll get on Fox and I'll talk about it and then immediately say, oh, you guys are making it up. This is a right-wing smear. Okay. Everything the right-wing media says is a smear. The writing's on the wall, folks, and I could write out this script. I can literally write this out. I know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. And no one seems to care in the Seattle City government. We get the government that we deserve. And right now, this is the one we deserve. And understand that this policy is going to spread. It's going to get into Redmond. It's going to get into Tacoma and Olympia. It's going to get into Puyallup and Renton and Tukwila and Bellingham. It's going to spread like everything that comes out of Seattle ends up spreading. Everything ends up spreading. It's going to. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, Bellingham City Council meeting tonight won't allow public comments. The absurd and frankly, terrifying reason behind that.
Yelm, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the time of the show. We completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And before we get started on the news portion, a shout out to the Snohomish County Republican Party for inviting me as their keynote speaker in Salton at their Lincoln Day picnic and dinner yesterday. It was a real treat to meet so many people. It was a curious drive over. I will say the best part about Sultan is the community feel. People are just really friendly and nice. The worst part about Sultan is something they don't have any control over, which is the 2.
I thought you love Highway 2.
Highway 2 is inexplicably poorly designed in that there's only one lane in either direction. And so when there is some inexplicable slowdown where my app to navigate driving over there told me to take Old Joe Road or something, it's just instead of taking Route 2 to just take this like side street. Well, it was supposed to save me 10 minutes. I ended up maybe going 20 minutes without having moved.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was the worst.
And you don't like driving. There's a reason you don't own a car.
I don't dislike driving. I don't like driving far. And it took me 90 minutes to get from the city we don't talk about to Sultan. 90, maybe a little bit more than 90 minutes.
Did you stop to pee at the McDonald's that you always say that you stopped to pee at?
No, but I stopped to get a Red Bull and gas up the car that because I took the station vehicle and no one fills the gas ever. And there were only 2 bars left on the gas. And so I realized, oh, I better get gas before I get into this long backup. And it was across the street from the McDonald's that I pee in all the time. I did have to pee, but I didn't want to go to the other side because, again, 2 is the worst. And so I went on the other side and I got a Red Bull. But I was looking really for a Coke Zero with coffee, and they only had the one with sugar.
They're good, right?
So good. Okay, back to the show. But yeah, thank you, Sultan, for having me in your fine city. And thank you to... Oh, and by the way, I sent a snarky text message to Mayor Russell Wita about being stuck in traffic, and he did not respond.
Wow. He stood you up.
He just did not. He ghosted me. I sent a photo. It was snarky, saying the only thing I really truly appreciate about Sultan is the traffic that doesn't move, and I sent a photo, and he did not respond. He didn't respond.
He's doing mayoral things, Jason.
And by the way, I did not let the traffic thing go the entire time I was there. Every time someone said hello, I'd be like, I love Sultan, especially the traffic and the inexplicable highway that we're dealing with.
I feel like you didn't say it that nice. I feel like you yelled at everybody and you said, your highway sucks.
I opened my speech talking about the traffic. Okay. Puyallup City Council unanimously passed an emergency moratorium that would stop a new state law that makes it more difficult for the city to prohibit homeless shelters. This according to the Tacoma News Tribune. Now, in the last legislative session, Democrats passed a bill that bans cities from excluding supportive housing, emergency housing, or transitional housing in multifamily residential zones or in zones where hotels are allowed to operate. It was done in part because of cities like Puyallup, which back in 2018, they passed a law that basically implemented this ban that the bill would overturn, saying, no, we are creating zoning laws in our city that would prevent these homeless shelters from going up in these densely populated residential zones. So the state legislature came in and said, no, no, no. You don't get to decide where these housing units go in your neighborhood. We do. We get to decide. And so the council passed a moratorium that lasts 180 days in which they will not comply with the state law. And they're saying they're doing it so they can review the city code as it is and make the necessary changes. In their defense, they're saying, look, you just passed this. This is not something that we can just flip a switch on and implement. It takes some time. On the other hand, this seems totally illegal. Even though I'm on their side, I think it was an awful bill that should never have passed. This seems illegal. Their city attorney disagrees. He says, oh, no, we can stop implementation of a state law. Can the Puyallup PD ignore the laws on policing then for the next 180 days? Or just code laws, like housing code laws? It's very odd to me. Again, I don't disagree with their move in a principled stance, right? Of like they're right on substance. It just feels kind of illegal. But don't worry. Councilmember Robin Ferris said, oh, no, no, we're committed to having positive solutions to help in this area. And this is not about dragging our feet because we want a positive outcome. I suppose if you can get away with dragging your feet on this, go ahead and drag your feet. Might as well make it a 180-day extension at the 180-day mark. Why did they say 180 days? Why not a year?
Yeah, shoot for the moon.
Just go all in if you're going to just sort of cheat the system. Right? Meanwhile, Bellingham City Council, they have a president by the name of Hannah Stone. And she decided to suspend public comment at tonight's council meeting because the city, the council, posts their videos on YouTube of their meetings. And YouTube has decided to give them a rather stern warning, taking down some of their videos, accusing them of spreading COVID misinformation. The COVID misinformation was apparently coming from public commenters. So at the end of all these meetings, it's usually crazy people and professional activists who get up and speak about things they don't understand in front of a camera that no one is watching on the other side of. That's the truth. And in this case, a bunch of people in the past had gone up and said things that were, in some cases, flatly incorrect about COVID. And it was, quote unquote, COVID misinformation. And on the other hand, they simply were giving analysis or opinion that is totally legitimate and I think offered in good faith. But according to YouTube, they have rules on the books that ban or can ban you for spreading misinformation, in quotes, that they determine to be misinformation. In a lot of ways, they're using guidance from the World Health Organization from like March of last year. So they haven't really updated. There's some words that if you were to use, specifically names of some kinds of treatment, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or ibuprofen, I always mispronounce it, they will just warn and then ban, regardless of the context in some instances. And so Hannah decided, the Bellingham City Council President, Hannah Stone, decided, okay, we're just going to cut down on all the public comments until we figure this out. She said, according to the Bellingham Herald, the suspension is not a solution, but rather a pause to preserve uninterrupted public access to meetings. My aim is to support new opportunities for improved community engagement and increased transparency. That goal will be the focus of discussions and planning in the weeks and months ahead. So I don't believe any of what she's saying here.
I don't either.
First of all, I guarantee you, go look this up on YouTube right now. Go to the Bellingham City Council page and go to any random hearing, any random council meeting that was posted. And at the most, maybe you'll find 112 views.
166.
I was pretty close. I was really close. And that was just a random one you picked out. So this idea that your posting of the videos on YouTube is getting in front of like hundreds or thousands of people to keep them up to speed about what's going on is total malarkey. Number two, why not just cut the camera feed when the public hearing starts? Right now, they're taking out the public comment hearing, right? The public commentary, which means it's not going to happen, which means the people at home won't see it because it's not happening. So why not preserve it and just cut the feed? The end result is the same for the person at home who's accessing the meeting via YouTube, but you do at least get to hear from the public. You could do that, you know. There's like a stop button on the camera, which is why the feed doesn't go 24/7.
Oh, that's how cameras work?
It's super weird, huh?
No, there seems to be a good amount of alternatives here that they are not exploring.
Well, and then number three, don't host it on YouTube. Host it on your own website. Host it on Rumble. You can post anything there. I mean, that's a YouTube alternative. And just embed it on your website. Every part of this story seems more like Hannah Stone decided, yeah, I just don't like it. I don't want to deal with it. Because they're saying, according to the law in Bellingham, according to the ordinances or code in Bellingham, you don't have to even have a public comment period of meetings. So all in the name of making sure that you have more exposure to the public, you're saying the public shouldn't even expect to speak to us. Something is off here.
It just seems like they wanted the easiest way out of putting in...
She did. She made the decision.
Okay.
There were some council members who, or at least one council member in the Bellingham Herald piece, that did not want this. He was on the show, but I forgot his name. It starts with an L or an N. I don't remember. Let's just call him Mike.
Okay, Mike.
It's just, there's something fishy here. And it feels like Hannah Stone is just trying to avoid it. Maybe she doesn't want to deal with public comment because they are kind of nutty usually. Or maybe she is someone who doesn't want anything having to do with COVID be discussed in a meaningful way or even questioned in a meaningful way. So there you go. That's why tonight the Bellingham City Council won't allow for public comment. Because I guess pushing the stop button on the camera was asking a little bit too much.
Well, I'm currently watching the Bellingham TV live stream, and I am the only person watching this stream right now.
And by the way, if this ends up being like 162, that's a cheat. I'm not counting that. This does not count
as part of... That's total views.
Okay. Well, no, I think if as long as you watch a little bit of it, it counts as a view.
Well,
you don't have to watch the whole thing.
I'm one person right here.
Gosh. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Don't forget, I was on Fox and Friends yesterday, as well as the Faulkner Focus today. If you missed any of that, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRants, youtube.com/JasonRants. I will note that my makeup lady, her name is Anne, very nice woman. After my Fox and Friends hit, she told me that I looked really tired, and she did it she tried to do it in a sweet way. Have you ever heard of those jade rollers?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what the material is, jade stone, but I don't know why it does what it's supposed to, which is you put it in the freezer and then you like roll it over your face or under your eyes, and it's supposed to tighten your skin, I guess, and make you more alert. It's just some nonsense.
Does jade just hold the cold temperature better and it does good things for your skin?
I think
that's the science there.
But why is my... I don't know what. But in any case, this morning... So the Fox and Friends hit was at 5:15 a.m., which meant I was up Sunday morning at 4 o'clock, which normally I would just go to bed a little bit earlier than normal, even on a Saturday, but I was doing my event in Salton. So I didn't get home until about 9 o'clock at night. It was a long
Ooh.
Day. Well, that was just a long day. And so I was already tired. I went to bed. I probably fell asleep around 10. But 10 a.m. to 4 a.m., not a good night's sleep.
Nope.
Because I don't sleep well as it is. So I was definitely tired. So I did my hit. And then this morning, I go in at a reasonable hour. I think I got there like 7:30. Felt fine. Felt great. And I'm unpacking some of my earpiece. And she goes, Jason, do you have one of those rollers that you put in the freezer and you can... I got you something, but I forgot to bring it. I bought you one. I go, you mean the jade stone thing? I was like, no, I have one. I go, why? She goes, well, you looked really tired yesterday. I think that could have helped. I'm like, why didn't you tell me that beforehand? Why didn't you tell me that yesterday? I could have maybe been a little bit more... perky on like I could make my eye, I could hold my eyes open. Like, why did you not tell me that?
It would have been unnatural.
I could fake it for 3.5 minutes. And then I went back this morning and I looked, because I don't normally watch my hits. So I went back and I watched. I was like, yeah, I look so tired.
I love that she's like, Jason, do you have one of those rollers? And you're like, yeah. She's just thinking, well, why doesn't he use it?
I go, well, why didn't you say anything?
Please start utilizing
it. The funny thing,
Jason,
is I forgot I bought it. It's been in my freezer for forever now. Eric Clapton said he's not going to perform at any venues that require the concert goer to prove that he or she received their vaccination. He is not down with vaccine passports. Now, I'm told he is skeptical of the vaccine. He's not anti-vax. He actually received the vaccine. He got AstraZeneca, but he had a bad reaction to it. In fact, AstraZeneca is the UK's version of Moderna, where all the folks who seem to have had like a really bad reaction seem to have received AstraZeneca there the same way they seem to have received Moderna here. I still haven't heard anything really bad about Pfizer or J&J. So after that, he got all anti-forced vaccinations, which does not make you anti-vax. It makes you a normal person. I am against mandating vaccines. I am not anti-vax. The reason it's coming up right now for Eric Clapton is because he has a bunch of shows in the United Kingdom. And the UK just implemented a rule for not just concert halls, but nightclubs and bars. So if you want to go out and enjoy your nightlife, you have to prove that you got the vaccine. So you got to show a vaccine passport. And so he wrote in a statement that he feels honor-bound to make an announcement of my own. I wish to say that I will not perform on any stage where there is a discriminated audience present. Well, they were not discriminated against. They were the if they got into the crowd, they would be the beneficiary of discrimination. So it's the people who were discriminated against that aren't in the crowd. But be that as it may, we get the point. Unless there is a provision made for all people to attend, I reserve the right to cancel the show. And he's 100% correct. Now, in the grand scheme of things, Eric Clapton is not someone who is desperate for money and has to run these shows, so he's not necessarily sacrificing financially to his detriment, but he is sacrificing financially for a principled position, and good for him. I mean, I've said personally, and I know a lot of you guys have said the same thing, that you won't go to a business that requires you to show proof of vaccination. I'm fine going to a business that just has a sign up that says, if you're not vaccinated, please wear a mask. I trust that people will either follow or not. And if they don't, well, I've been vaccinated and I believe in the vaccine, unlike a lot of public health officials, apparently, because that's the message that they're sending. The vaccine cuts down on your risk that dramatically as they tell us, then I'm not going to wear a mask to go into a business. I've been vaccinated. That's the point of getting vaccinated. And so he's saying no. And I started to think about what other avenues can we go down to explore why this is such a bad idea. And immediately I thought of not necessarily the concert stuff, but going into a nightclub. Why do young people go into nightclubs? What is their end goal at the end of that if they're single?
To meet a friendly fella. Yeah.
Or lady. What are you doing?
Well, fella's gender neutral these days, dude.
No, it's not.
Just like dude. It's gender neutral.
They go to hook up.
Yeah.
Why not, before entering a bar or a nightclub, you show a STD test that's clean? Prove you don't have an STD or HIV. Well, Jason, that would stigmatize people living with HIV or herpes or whatever it happens to be. And I would say, you're right, it would. But isn't this about protecting the greater good? Isn't it about protecting the people who are going to the bar who don't want to contract an STD or HIV, which can be deadly? Well, hold your horses. You can treat HIV and still live a normal life. Yeah, that's true. You can treat gonorrhea. It goes away. Yeah, that's true. Kind of like COVID. Especially when we're talking about the younger people who are going out to these clubs and bars. I'm assuming it's not the 90-year-old who's going bar hopping in London or in Manchester where you've got these rules in place. Those are the people who are at most risk. So we're talking about 20-somethings. Or in UK, it's a little bit younger to drink. You're talking about 18 plus. Should they have to have a life with herpes or with HIV? No, let's cut down to stigma. Okay, well then it's stigmatizing to the people who don't get to go in because they can't get or won't get the vaccine. You can't have it both ways. So pick a lane. And I kind of like my idea, even though it's probably illegal. But so is asking for a COVID vaccine, I would. If it's illegal, if it's not illegal on the COVID vaccine front, it shouldn't be illegal on the STD front. It's the Jason Rand Show.